Frank.
What's that producer's name?
Frank.
Frank. Come on, man. What's going on?
Board's off.
Oh, Frank, you're fired. That's it. I can't take it anymore. Hold on, Frank. I'll fix it. Just relax. Everybody relax.
I'm already firing Frank.
Well, yeah, he's got to go. Frank's a fool. Oh, there we go.
Too late now, Frank.
Oh, I love Blog Talk Radio.
Jerk.
Come on. I'm not too sure Pedro may not be getting a call here pretty soon.
Tell you what, looking back. Oh, man, that's embarrassing.
We can just cut that dead stuff out later.
All right. It seems a little remiss right now, but it's the Sunday morning. It's the Inside Slant. Welcome to AsylumFantasySports.com.
We're Flieger and Briggs. Nothing, and I mean nothing but trouble. I'm still sitting here watching this stupid computer spin around as I'm trying to get in the chat room.
No.
I can't get in the chat room. Frank fell asleep, drunk or something. I have no clue. What a producer we have. No music, nothing. But here it is, week three, Rick, and man, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, so much. The injury bug hitting us hard this week. We apologize for those hiccups. Get your questions in at Asylum Football on Twitter. We'll be monitoring that. If you want to call in, 646-478-4679. That's where you can reach the show, Rick. Also, the emails, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Let me do that.
Yeah, you just
get asylum. No, it's asylumfootball@gmail.com.
That's what I said.
Asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. Get them in. We'll answer them all. And, I mean, they're coming in now with the injuries,
yeah,
the banged up people. And, of course, the police blotter just keeps keeping people out as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, Rick, let's jump right into it. We'll do the show just as we always do. We'll take a look at the headlines. We'll keep an eye on those. Hopefully Big Tex comes in the chat room here, our roving reporter who scoops us. But a couple of things right off the bat. We see Vernon Davis right now doubtful to take on the Cardinals. That's some big news right there. Arian Foster, a long shot to play. So,
yeah, saw that.
Off to a nice little start. Here we go. And we've seen this with Arian Foster before. He gets these hamstring issues, and they tend to cost him 3-4 weeks. He's always come back from them and come back well, and he usually likes to do this in mid-August, so it's kind of odd he's doing this mid-season. He usually does it in mid-August. Somebody gets him drafted in the fifth or sixth round and looks like geniuses. But going into week three, he's a long shot
to
play.
And here he is, averaging about 27.5 carries a game. That's a nice load right there.
Right.
And it's getting too much.
So.
But, hey, before we really move on here, just came across a wire today. Rob Baronis, free agent kicker. He just tried out for the Lions last week. And, of course, certainly everyone knows the name Rob Baronis,
right,
in fantasy circles and NFL, killed last night in a single car crash.
Oh, that's terrible.
And, it was. On his way home, apparently, no alcohol, evidence at the scene, anything like that. It was a single car crash, hit some trees, and he was pronounced dead. And for those of you who don't know, he was married to Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw, his daughter. So, prayers and everything go out to their family.
Yeah, that's sad. Way too young for that nonsense. And the rare occasion, I guess, where alcohol wasn't involved. So, I won't go down that road, Rick. Also, I think maybe the biggest news, Arian Foster, obviously huge news. Also, Jamal Charles, the chief sideline reporter, this coming from CBSSports.com, saying Jamal Charles isn't expected to play this week. So everybody who spent all of their free agent dollars on Nile Davis last week, and we saw some wild numbers here, you're going to get paid off here for a week or two anyhow.
Yeah, no kidding. You'll get a start with Nile Davis, and I'll get into that a little bit later.
That'll
be interesting.
Have that in the start sits. What else do we have here headline-wise? We'll keep an eye on these. Eric Decker going to be a game-time decision on Monday. Don't know how many people are relying on Eric Decker week in and week out. Not a bad little matchup this week, but being the Monday night game, I don't think you can trust him. Right? I hate this. These game-time decisions on a Monday, you absolutely can't play him. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, and like you say, you don't know how much. I'm sure some people have Eric Decker is a every week start. He's a number one receiver on the Jets, albeit not somebody you're looking for huge numbers but kind of like a, you know, whatever. Doug Baldwin sort of, that kind of a receiver. You know, you can plug him in and feel fairly certain he'll get a few catches for you and so forth.
Yeah, I think a high-end wide receiver three. Rick, we got the first one in the chat room. Nile Davis or Lamar Miller this week instead of Jamal Charles?
Oh, for me, it's Nile Davis.
Yeah, he's just done nothing but perform. It's what the kid has done. I don't know where he came from. I don't know anything about Nile Davis, but he's put up the numbers. They're going to run the ball a lot. Lamar Miller, I'll tell you what, Lamar Miller surprised me a little bit. And in other circumstances with all these injuries, I think he's a viable play this week. But Nile Davis, the offense seems to fit him. He seems to fit that Jamal Charles role. Nobody's Jamal Charles. But Shifty, he's making some receptions. I like Nile Davis this week and going forward.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to get into that a little bit later. I think I'll get into it right now. The only cautionary statement I can make is you remember 2 weeks ago, Jamal Charles had 5 rushes?
Right, right.
You got to use these guys. And with the Kansas City game plan, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get, even with Jamal Charles, let alone a Nile Davis. Now, last week, he was fine.
True.
So, you know, I don't. It still gives me a little case of the butterflies thinking, you know, just saying, oh, yeah, he's a must start. I think you have to start him because of the potential. But I tell you what, even all the way back to the Romeo incident, as we like to refer to it.
The infamous Romeo incident, yeah.
Right. You know, you have to use these guys.
Right.
And, you know, so thinking he's a clear-cut must-start, I think you're correct. But you might have a little bit of caution there.
Here's the problem with Nile Davis. I don't want to say it's a problem. It almost makes me feel a little better in this situation. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I have to imagine in that first week when Jamal Charles got 5 carries, absurdly so, Nile Davis got a lot of work that week. Who's behind Nile Davis? They're not going to go in there and throw the ball 50 times against Miami today. They're going to run the ball. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know who's behind them. I think they've identified Nile Davis as a guy who can take work and fit certain schemes or certain defenses or certain play sets that they're running. And I think they've identified Nile Davis can take some of that pressure off Jamal Charles. I don't think that, is there a guy behind Nile Davis who's going to do the same thing to him that Davis has done to Charles, at least in week one. And then with Charles getting hurt last week, not necessarily relevant. So I'm less worried about it with one of those guys out because, again, they're not going to go in there and throw the ball 40, 50 times. It's not the Chiefs' identity. I think they're going to have to run the ball. And there's probably going to be some other guys going to emerge this week, too. Do you even know who's behind Nile Davis in Kansas City?
De'Anthony Thomas is behind Nile Davis, but he's ruled out for week 3 with a hammy. And you know, you have Cyrus Gray, and you know, and he's probable, but he's nursing a foot injury. So, I mean, it is Nile Davis.
So
that does make these guys that spent this wild waiver wire money to get Nile Davis feel a little more secure in the workload that he's going to receive.
Well, he's going to touch the ball 30 times today. He's going to have to. You're not the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith is not going to go in there and throw the ball 40 or 50 times. So I feel good about Davis against a lot of folks. There's just no question about it. And Lamar Miller, back to the question, with no Sean Marino out, he's going to get some more work. But he went into last season getting the bulk of the work, and we saw how that worked out. He's had some nice games as the number two, as the complimentary piece. I think that's his role.
And he's a big guy. Right. I mean, hold up to that workload.
When he gets in this role as the primary back, he doesn't succeed like he does in this role as, you know, I think he needs a guy like Marino to be successful, to be the change of pace kind of guy.
Right.
So I think, would I play Lamar Miller in certain circumstances this week? Yeah, I would, but not in that. Nile Davis. We talk about volume plays a lot. And while it didn't work out with Toby Gerhart so much last week, the volume play doesn't always work, but I think it's going to have to here, and we've seen that success from Nile Davis.
And I was referring to Nile Davis. Like I said, you know, I don't have any fear of him holding up to the workload, you know, because like I said, he is a big guy, and, you know, there's really nobody behind him right now. So, yeah, I think you're safe to play with Nile Davis. And Lamar Miller certainly doesn't trip my trigger.
No, he's just not exciting. He was a darling last year, but just it hasn't worked out. Rick Keenan Allen, 50-50 up against the Bills today with that groin. Yeah, here we go. what I always wonder, and here's what I struggle with recommending. So he's 50-50, he's a game time decision. Rick, you find out, it, you usually know this by noon, quarter after, somewhere in there. If you find out Keenan Allen's going to go, do you just plug him in and feel good about it?
Well, you know, and I hate saying, you ask me a lot of these kind of questions, and it depends on who you have to plug in there. If you have a deep squad, I think I might hold him out. And
Terrence Williams.
I think I'd throw Terrence Williams in there.
Okay.
I like Terrence Williams this year, although Dallas really hasn't exploded yet this year. I think the potential's there, other than the run game. I think the potential's there for that pass game really to open up. I kind of like Terrence Williams if you're going to Keenan Allen at a 50-50.
Right, and especially Dez Bryant, I know, banged up. He's probably going to play. He is questionable with that shoulder. You know, I had this big speech planned about how, and historically it's true, Dez Bryant doesn't play well when he's banged up. He's really struggled. I believe, didn't he have a hand last year for a couple of weeks, and he just disappeared for 2 or 3 weeks. He was out there and he was playing. But he looked down. He just wasn't himself. But he injured his shoulder, I believe, on the first play from scrimmage, or at least his first play that he was involved last week. And he came out and he put up that huge week. So I think with a Dez Bryant, if he plays, you got to play him. But I got to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous about him. He has this history.
Right.
They're still listening to him as questionable. He went through limited practice Friday. I don't have a lot of fear. I think he goes out there and plays, but I wonder if you don't have to temper your expectations a little bit with a guy like Dez Bryant.
That's true. Hey, 646-478-4679. Call in anytime, and we'll get your questions answered.
All right, Rick. Well, it's not a ton of questions here. Obviously, we'll have Scott coming in at the 11 o'clock hour. Go over the questions that come in throughout the week. You can get those calls in, 646-478-4679. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Asylum Football. Let's jump right into it, Rick, before we really get rolling with the questions and take a look at some starts, some sits, some watches. Let's get through as many of these as we can. I'll start it out at quarterback, Rick. I like the shiny new toy. I like what I've seen in limited work. I think you're setting up for a game that's going to be an absolute shootout. I am starting Kirk Cousins this week at quarterback. I think he has the potential to have a nice game. You may have to eat a couple turnovers here or there, but you know they're going to get a ton of offensive plays. It's going to be a shootout. Hopefully DeSean Jackson's good to go with that shoulder and can play. That adds a whole new dynamic with the way he left Philadelphia. You know he's looking for some revenge there. And I think Kirk Cousins has himself a nice little game. Look for another 275-yard, two, maybe even three touchdown game, depending on how well they're moving things.
Yeah, and it's classic NFC matchup, East matchup. So, yeah, I mean, I think Kirk Cousins actually with what I've seen of RG3, I think he's an upgrade right now. He just doesn't seem to be the same player he used to be. We talked about that in last week's show. And, yeah, I think he's probably a pretty good start. And here's one that I think I may surprise you as a start. I think I'm going to go with Rashad Jennings.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not convinced that Houston, granted they're much improved over last year so far, but let's not forget they were 2-0 last year at this time. But they've given up 5.8 yards per carry so far and 116 yards a game. You know, and Jennings has only had 55 yards a game so far. But bear in mind, they've played Arizona and they've played Detroit, who, by the way, has given up 2.5 yards a carry and jumped ahead of New York early. So there wasn't a whole lot of opportunities for them. I think Houston, they may be the real deal, but I don't think New York can start 0-2 and get away with it. And I think somehow they're going to figure it out. And I think Rashard Jennings is going to be a part of it.
As much as that offense has struggled, and as much as for stretches of games, Rashard Jennings has struggled, and I don't think it's an issue with him necessarily.
No.
That offense is just so putrid right now. Eli Manning is an absolute disaster. There's no better word for it than Eli's a disaster.
Right. But I've had him, I have Jennings in some leagues. And in PPR formats, he's worked into the passing game. I mean, he hasn't killed me. He's
right.
Double digits.
He's finding the end
right.
zone. He's catching enough passes to put up RB2 numbers. That's absolutely what he's doing. And so I think he continues to do that. And if they can get that offense rolling, if Eli can get it figured out, and you'd have to think at some point they're going to figure out this new offense, I think, you know, what is it, rising tide raises all ships. I think Jennings goes with it. He is right now the only performer on that offense. And I think he's pretty close to an every week start unless you have better options. Here's a good question in the chat room, Rick. Gore or Bradshaw in a non-PPR flex position? That's tough. Amad Bradshaw's really coming on.
I tell you what, I'm tooting my own horn. I called this way back. If his feet are healthy, Trent Richardson's out of a job.
Oh, Richardson had a nice little week last week,
I'm telling you, Bradshaw is going to be the number one. And, you know, San Francisco is kind of weird. I mean, they're coming off a tough loss, and they're going against a good defense. But, you know, we'll get into some of the predictions. I think San Francisco might have a good day. But I tell you what, I'd have a hard time benching Bradshaw right now, even in standard format.
Right. He did a little bit in the pass game. So you take the PPR out, his value goes down a little bit for me. I never thought we'd be talking about Amad Bradshaw as a PPR kind of guy. You think he'd be better in a flex league, but it's this Indy offense. For me, Rick, it's that matchup against Jacksonville. Now, while Jacksonville, for whatever reason, always plays their division better than otherwise, that team, after a big first half against Philly in week one, has just really reverted. You talk about things reverting back to the norm little bit. They really did that in the second half, and then all of last week just getting their doors blown off. And that Amad Bradshaw was a big catalyst to that. I think Richardson gets some work, but I think Bradshaw is going to get some goal line work. Indy's going to score a ton of points. They're going to be up early in that game. I think it's Bradshaw. I'm still taking a wait and see on Gore. They're working Carlos Hyde in more and more. Gore's looked good on certain carries, but not for any big stretches of the game. Gore, this might finally be the year he starts to tick down. He is not falling off the table with his Sean Alexander style, which I sort of expected when this happens. But he seems to be reverting back. Their guys going in different directions. Bradshaw's going up. They have the better matchup. That Arizona defense, they're banged up. It's still a pretty good defense. It's still a fast defense. And Kaepernick gets his when they play Arizona. That was a start. I didn't know if it was too obvious. But for whatever reason, Kaepernick plays real well against the Cardinals. So I think it's going to be the Colin Kaepernick show. And I agree. I'm going to go with Amad Bradshaw here. And this is a guy, he's still on some leagues and smaller leagues, he's still on some waiver wires. Go out there and get you some Amad Bradshaw.
Yeah, get him because he's the starter.
No question about it. So let's jump back. We're good in the chat room there.
Just to let you know, something to do with Blog Talk. Both Rick and I cannot be in the chat room at the same time. So you have Fligger this week.
Yeah, sorry about that. You lose your buddy, everybody's best friend, Rick Briggs, in the chat room. It's like the Rick Briggs show. So not sure why you can't get in this week.
I think it's
karmic is what I really think it is. Is it done with your evil reign over the chat room and the nonsense you spew in there? I hear about what you say about me in there just because I can't see it. I hear about it.
All it is the truth hurts. I can't help it.
Well,
I speak the truth.
Yeah, that's fair. So let's start a running back, Rick. Let's just keep with the starts. Did you?
Rashard Jennings.
Oh, okay. Rashard, that's right. So I'm going to start a running back, Rick. I don't know if this is too obvious. He's probably reached the level of an every-week start right now, but I really like Joik Bell's matchup against the Packers. A guy I was real high on in the offseason, you know, I went all in on him. I had him ranked in the top 10, was Reggie Bush. Joik Bell's the primary back in this Detroit offense through 2 weeks, and I don't see it changing for any reason because it's working. It's just what he does, and in the way this offense, going up against the Packers, he's getting those number one reps, and you saw how the Packers got torched by Marshawn Lynch. I think things set up here. Joik Bell has supplanted Reggie Bush is the number one running back there. And if you're not already starting him, I suspect he's a starter in most leagues. But if you're not, this guy, I think he sets up for a big week. And he's top five or six right now in PPR formats in terms of running back scoring.
You know, I'm not convinced that he is taking over as the primary back. I mean, look, you know, Reggie Bush has been banged up a little bit already. And granted, you know, Bell's been getting, you know, a lot of work. But he's starting to get a little banged up, too. So, you know, I certainly start him. Don't get me wrong there. But I think you're going to see a lot of Reggie Bush as well this year.
I hope I do. You know, I went all in on him. I ranked him top 10. This comes across the chat room, Rick, and I see it here on CBS as well. Bernard Pierce, 95% chance he doesn't play. He's about out. So
wow.
Justin Forsett owners. I like this Cleveland matchup. I think these games are always grinded out. You don't tend to see the big air show. Nobody goes wacko for Flacco in this game. I think Justin Forsett's a real nice play this week.
Yeah, no kidding. Very good.
So why don't you start somebody else, Rick? I think we're good.
We're starting again, are we?
Twitter just crashed on me. It's just one of those mornings.
Oh, it is. It's crazy, isn't it? I tell you what, I like this start. And, look, they haven't had much to crow about all season as far as in the St. Louis offense. But I think Zach Stacy against Dallas is a good start today. Dallas has given up almost 5 yards a carry and about 105 yards a game. And in PPR, with that shaky offense, I think Stacy is a very good start.
Yeah, he looked nice last week in what wasn't a very favorable matchup. Obviously, big, big offensive issues there. He managed to get his. He managed to get in the end zone. And it's a much better matchup. And we talked last week about Zach Stacy. I don't know if it was on the Wednesday show or we talked about it on this show. But Zach Stacy was a guy I wasn't even looking at. And he turned around and he put together a nice little week. Not huge. What was it, 70-ish?
Yeah.
And a touchdown. You can live with that from your RB2. And that's probably where you have Zach Stacy as your RB2. Dallas has been surprisingly tough against the run, but with this Dallas defense, with Romo looking completely lost out there, he had some flashes last week, but Romo really struggling with the back issues, everything else. I think this game, maybe the Seattle defense may be able to keep it close.
St. Louis.
Or St. Louis. Who'd I say? Seattle. Boy, I'm all over the place here. But I agree.
See, you put
I think,
this guy in the chat room, and he just goes nuts.
Well, a question popped up, and it threw me all off. So let me throw that to you, Rick. We've got Monty Ball or Bradshaw in what probably is the same non-PPR. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. If it's non-PPR, I think I'd still go Bradshaw going against Jacksonville. And, Monty Ball, if you're looking at standard, going against that Seattle defense. But – the Seattle defense certainly isn't as vaunted either. I mean, we can go into one of the points I made when we start talking about or predicting the games. Denver and Seattle have given up on average the exact same amount per game in yardage, and they're both ranked 14th in the league.
Right.
So they're not these vaunted defenses that were so famous last year so far. So I don't think Monty Ball is a bad play. But I tell you what, going against Jacksonville, what Jacksonville front are you going to get? What started the first half against Philly or what showed up last week?
So, I've seen two quarters of one and I've seen six of the other, so I tend to go that way.
I have a hard problem sitting Monty Ball, though, and I'm going to go against what I've just been touting against that Jacksonville matchup. I'm going to say Monty Ball.
It comes down to me, Rick, how I think this game is going to go. That's what it's about for me. And everything tells me it's in Seattle. We saw that Seattle obviously has Denver figured out in the Super Bowl. Seattle should roll this team. Peyton Manning don't play like that. Now, I'll be curious, as this is only going to be the second matchup. New England always owned Peyton Manning. And so that was the one time when you talk about Manning looking for revenge, he tends to just go off. It's what he does. He's a psychopath. He's a maniac. I think that may happen today. I don't know how this game ends. I think they're going to score a ton of points. I really do believe that. I don't think you're going to see them get completely shut down like they did in the Super Bowl. But you're not going to do it against that secondary. There's going to have to do more creative things, and I think Monty Ball's going to be a big part of that.
Keenan Allen did.
You're right. That's fair. There's something about – remember, this game's in Seattle, too.
True. That's the big difference. You're right.
And they play a different style of defense there. I think you can see, Demaryius Thomas has been off to a rough start so far this year, and I don't think it gets any better, assuming he draws Richard Sherman today, which I think he has to do. I'm going to go Monty Ball. I think all the numbers point to Ahmad Bradshaw, but I think in a game – Denver's going to want, Peyton Manning's going to want, they're going to find a way to get the ball to Monty Ball in space. Even in a non-PPR, I think you could see some good yardage. I think Monty Ball's a guy they're looking at down around the goal line if they can take Julius Thomas out of the game. I think this sets up for Monty Ball Boy, the numbers point to Bradshaw, but I can't sit ball in this situation. It's too big of a game, and in big games, Peyton Manning uses his playmakers to make plays, and I think that happens today. So I'm going to go with Monty Ball, but boy, that's a lot closer than it should be. And if we'd talked about this going into week one, we'd have roundly mocked even having this question.
Right.
That shows you the way this season's been going, how well Bradshaw's performed, and really how disappointing Monty Ball's been to this point.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, Denver offense has been. And look, I mean, I couldn't expect that Denver offense to be like it was last year. It's still fairly potent, and it probably will pick up. And but you come, you know, fantasy owners have these short memories. Oh, it's Demaryius Thomas. I can look for 8 catches, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns every week, you know, because that's what he did last year.
Hey, he'll do that plenty, but he's not going to do it every week.
Exactly. You're just not going to have that consistent obliteration of defenses like you did last year. They're gonna come to earth a little bit. They're gonna be good, solid performers, but you're just not gonna get these cartoonish numbers every week.
And we talked about it in the offseason with Peyton Manning when we were trying to see, obviously we had him ranked as a number one quarterback, but where we were trying to rank him as number all. By and large, through all the years, and he was as good every year of his career after his rookie year as he was last year. But by and large, he's a 35 to 40 touchdown guy. 50 touchdowns is an exception, and you can't do it.
55 is marvelous.
Right. You can't do it consistently, so we figured he'd revert back to around 40, and that seems to be the way it's going a little bit. And I think in a game like this against Seattle, who can take away some of these weapons, and where I don't expect Peyton to go out and throw for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns as he's wont to do against a lot of teams, I think they find a way to win this game. That team is too good. You brought it up. While the defenses are both in the middle, Denver plays a good little brand of defense, too. So this game can be closer. It's setting up to be one of those games. It's just the way it works. You're not going to see a blowout again. That's not the way the league works. And I think Monty Ball's a big part of it. I think he has to be a big part of it. So I guess my answer is, it's taken us 10 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
My answer is, I think this game is going to be close. In order for this game to be close, Monty Ball's going to have a big day. He's going to be the difference maker. That's why, while the numbers right now and the matchup points to Ahmad Bradshaw, I think just based on how I think this game goes, Monty Ball is going to have a big day, so I think he does, and I'm going to have him in all my lineups.
And I think we will get into these games, you know, predicting them in more detail later on. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, Monty Ball, and you know, I made some trades, and I picked up Monty Ball.
That wasn't even a trade. That was a mugging is what that was.
I mean, one of the
check for your wallet, hide the women and children. That was ugly.
All right, let's get a sit. We don't want to get into that and dribble on here. Let's do a sit.
All right, I'll sit somebody, Rick.
Right.
I think this one's easy. This is a guy teetering down around the 12th quarterback position week in and week out. We get a lot of questions about Ben Roethlisberger. I am absolutely sitting him against the Panthers. Took a beating last week, Ben. He's been talking all week about being sore and that being one of the toughest hits he took on that first drive last week. I've seen enough of Ben Roethlisberger being here in the Pittsburgh area to know he'll let you know when he's banged up and it can affect him. And look, we saw last week that offensive line, while finally healthy, still isn't giving Ben Roethlisberger a ton of time. I know Greg Hardy's out dealing with his situation. That's a good Carolina defense. If the Steelers have a chance in this game, they keep it close, it's going to be low scoring. I want no parts of Ben Roethlisberger this week.
One thing to remember about that, you know, Big Ben, he's had 10 days off, which is one good thing, you know, from being sore. And the only other thing about that, I don't know what your other option is, but, you know, Ben, you throw him in a hat. Ben, who?
Jay Cutler.
Cutler.
Andy Dalton,
obviously.
I'd play over him.
Yeah, man. So, you know, use it with caution, but sometimes he tends to step up against better teams and lay the egg against the crummy teams.
But not necessarily with numbers, Rick. He
True.
Finds a way to win games, and that's what's made Ben Roethlisberger who he is. He hasn't done it with numbers. I need numbers out of my quarterback this week, and he's not putting up 300 and multiple touchdowns. Do you know the last time, Rick, the Carolina Panthers gave up multiple passing touchdowns?
No.
December 2012. That's the last time. That's how good they were last year. And through 2 weeks, here in 2014, they don't do it. They don't give up. You may be able to run on them a little bit. They're going to have to find creative ways to get the ball in the end zone. Give me a lot of guys, Tony Romo, right. Andy Dalton, over Ben this week.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, I don't know how many guys are really starting these now. After the first week, it was kind of, you know, stock rose a little bit. People warmed up. But it doesn't matter who it is. Sean Green, Bishop Sankey,
ugh.
Bench him. They're going against Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati's given up under 100 yards a game. And, you know, they possess a potent offense. They got a very tough defense. I think they're going to jump on Tennessee. Tennessee's going to have to pass. I want no part of a Sean Green or a Bishop Sankey. There's a lot of talk between these two. Sankey was taking the job. He hasn't shown anything. Sean Green had a little bit of splash week one. Get him on your bench until they start running 100 yards a game 2 weeks in a row.
Right, and we keep waiting for it to shake out. I'm starting to get the feeling, Rick, it's not going to. They're going to play the hot hand.
I don't think there is a hot hand.
There
I think
may not.
Sean Green's running back one. Sankey had 25 yards in week one, like, what, five or something last week. They're just nobody's showing anything. Just get them on your bench. Yeah,
maybe if one of them goes down, we look at this again. But I agree. My sit at running back, Rick, I think this is obvious after last week. But for whatever reason, we still get a ton of questions about this guy every week. I'm done with Toby Gerhardt. I have washed my hands of him. I don't trust him that they're going to be down too often. We talk about him as a volume play. He only had, I believe, 7 carries last week, 8 carries. Now, they were down big early. I think that happens a lot, and he hasn't shown a lot of success when he is getting the carries. Toby Gerhardt, for where he's one of those guys, people want to get him in the lineup. He's a number one back in the NFL, and when you're in fantasy football, I understand the value in that, but Toby Gerhardt's just not getting it done. He seems nicked up every single game. So just don't ask me Toby Gerhardt quit. I don't know who you could bring me that I wouldn't recommend to start over Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah, there's something to be said for volume play, but on the same token, if you have 20 carries at a yard and a half a pop,
right.
It's not doing you any good.
Exactly,
so.
And that's the type of numbers he's putting up, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm just washing my hands of him. 646-478-4679 if you want to call in. Rick, how about somebody you're watching this week? Let's jump to that.
I tell you what, this is one of my favorites. Watch Kerry Robinson.
That's interesting, yeah.
And, okay, you know, especially in standard formats, you know, you have to, you know, I'm not sure he's just going to walk in and take over for Ingram. You know, Ingram had this great start, looked really good. He's out for about a month. You know, Minnesota right now is giving up under 4 yards a carry. And Pierre Thomas is still obviously going to be getting more touches. He's had more touches than any back on New Orleans.
Right.
A lot of it are catches, obviously. But that means he's still going to be in there. I think they're going to run him more as well. I'm not sure. Now, bear in mind, Robinson's workload is going to go up. But I want to see how this is going to shake out with Ingram out between him and Thomas. Is Thomas going to come in and start getting the bulk of the carries and the receptions?
Right.
Or is Robinson going to step in an Ingram role and get a lot of that heavy workload? Depending on who you have, I can't imagine – you drafted Kerry Robinson thinking he was going to be one of your starts. I think I would hold off on him until I saw what kind of workload he's going to get in the absence of Ingram.
Right, and he's something to keep an eye on. One thing, and I thought a lot about this week with Pierre Thomas, because he's a guy we were both high on, and a lot of people in the air quotes industry were real high on Pierre Thomas going into this season. One thing I've thought about this week, irregardless of who's there, if it was Ivory, all the other weapons,
right.
Ingram, Pierre Thomas's role has never really changed. I think Robinson may be the one, from a touches standpoint, who benefits most from Mark Ingram going out. Pierre Thomas's role has been what it has been as long as he's been there in New Orleans, and they filled in around him with whoever.
Bear in mind, he basically took over for Darren Sproles last year with this great volume of catches. Hence, Sproles was basically kicked out of New Orleans,
right.
On to Philadelphia. Why do we need two of you?
Right.
So, but he's also bigger back, and he you know, can get some tough yards if you need him as well.
But in terms of rushing attempts, that's what doesn't change.
That role
has stayed. Rick, we got a question in the chat room. Non-PPR flex. This is interesting because you had Zach Stacy as a start. Zach Stacy, Asiata, Crabtree, or Wayne?
Wow.
Well, you've gone silent over there. That threw
Stacy,
you.
Stacy, Asiata,
Crabtree, and Wayne.
And this is standard.
Standard league, non-PPR. I think I take Crabtree right off the bat. Crabtree's been a bit of a disappointment for me. He's drawn Patrick Peterson today. I don't think I'm looking at Crabtree much. You know, Stacy, Asiata, Wayne. Wayne hasn't blown me away. For as good as that Indy offense has been and a non-PPR, I might throw both the receivers out here. Now I got both running backs, Zach Stacy, Asiata. Yeah, that's tough. That's close. You're not a big rushing game from Asiata, but he found a way to get in the end zone. I don't know how I always feel about the new shiny tool. I might roll Zach Stacy here, Rick. I think he has the best option. He's got the best matchup, I think, in what's going to be a close game with that defense that St. Louis plays. I'm going to go with Zach Stacy here. You just flip through pages furiously. This one's got you turned upside down.
Well, I like Asiata's matchup against New Orleans statistically. New Orleans offense or defense is horrid. But it's something telling me that this just could be a blowout today. And I'm thinking Zach Stacy is a safer play in standard format. Red zone carries. I think Minnesota's going to have to be passing some or a lot, let's put it that way, to try to stay in it with New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like a tasty matchup with Rob Ryan's defense. I mean, it's like water through a screen door
right. The
first two games. But just they're 0-2. I just can't see New Orleans going 0-3, and I can see them putting the hammer down in Minnesota. I'm going Zach Stacy.
I agree 100%, and you nailed it. Here's what I do know. You know, if I'm doing a little gambling this week, and, you know, we don't do that. That's illegal, Rick.
Well, yeah.
New Orleans isn't going 0-3. And especially to Minnesota at home. It's just not going to happen. New Orleans is going to come out. They're going to score a ton of points. You know, Scott had not a real question in there. He's taking my Gerhardt challenge with Gerhardt, Dwayne Bowe, Colston, or a turkey sandwich. I responded I'd take the turkey sandwich. You know Colston's having a big day today, right, Rick? You know it's going to happen.
No,
I benched him in two leagues. It's going to happen.
If you've got him benched, yeah, he's going to have a huge game. If you start him, he'll have a goose egg. So.
Right. And
that's what you get with him.
I think Zach Stacy's a safer play. There is some intrigue with Asiata there. I think Patterson's the one who has the potential to have a big day as they're trying to come back and trying to, you know, in the matchup against that New Orleans secondary. I like Patterson. Asiata has a chance to have a good day, but I think I know what I'm going to get out of Zach Stacy. There's less risk there. That's who I'm going to play.
I agree.
All right, start two, Rick. Alfred Blue, we know now it looks like Arian Foster's going to be out. Blue, Donald Brown with the Ryan Matthews situation. Trent Richardson, there's your boy. Lance Dunbar and his Isaiah Crowell. Well, that's a stack of mediocrity
Brown.
Right there. What?
Brown.
No, it says Isaiah Crowell.
Well, no, I said Donald Brown. He's one of the choices, right?
Yeah, but you have to pick two, so you can't just yell Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Brown's number one.
You think?
To me, he is. No, I'm just saying that to fool the guy. Of course, that's what I'm thinking.
Wow. But you're very steadfast in that. I think that would require more. I'm sorry. I'll back away from the microphone.
Now, I think with San Diego's playing good, and he's basically Donald Brown has been running hard. I'd never a real big Donald Brown fan until basically the second half of last year where he was showing up Trent Richardson. You know, he was the better back, and we talked about that many times. You know, Trent Richardson was traded, and Donald Brown, of all people, was a better back, and I think it basically lit a fire under Donald Brown. He's gone to San Diego. He's still in the backup role. But what I saw last week when Matthews went out, the guy's running hard. San Diego's playing good. I think Donald Brown's a start.
Okay. So.
And then I don't like Crowell's matchup against Baltimore all that much, quite frankly.
I think he's number two to Terrence West.
Yeah, exactly. And and what's the other one again?
We have Alfred Blue, Trent Richardson, or Lance Dunbar.
Yeah, I got to go Blue. Ah. If Foster's out, I think Blue is a guy to start. He won't be the sole carrier.
No.
But I think he's probably got more potential because that Houston running game is still very good.
Yeah, Trent Richardson obviously liked what I saw last week, put up a respectable game, but he's still Trent Richardson. He's going to have to string together a couple before it's something I even consider. Lance Dunbar is a guy I was real excited about in the offseason. The Cowboys had come out and said they were going to try to work him into a Darren Sproles role. They used the words Darren Sproles. It hasn't happened yet, so I think almost by default. I agree, Brown. Yeah, I'm not sure how many carries he's going to get, but what should be a fairly good game against Buffalo? I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with blue. That was quite a stutter there.
Kind of like Porky Pig.
That's all, folks. Yeah, I think it's blue and brown. Yeah, Richardson's the only one I could maybe make an argument for, but I'm going to have to see it one more time, maybe two more times, maybe three more times. I've been burned a few times.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the case that Richardson and Bradshaw both are going to get a good workload against Jacksonville. But, you know, I just like Bradshaw a lot better. I'm just not sure Richardson, I don't know. I just like Brown a lot better. So, and Blue, you know, the potential of Blue with Houston.
Right. So, Rick, now we have Michael Floyd, obviously, with looks like Stanton's going to be starting a quarterback, or Davante Adams, who seems to be emerging is the number three there in Green Bay in what appears to be, per Scott here, going to be a shootout. I have to agree with that.
I have to agree with that, but I still like Michael Floyd. You know, Drew Stanton's still going to have to throw to somebody. Like you said, Arizona tends to play San Francisco tough. Kaepernick tends to play well against Arizona as well. So I think there's more points going to be scored than what you think. And, you know, Stanton has to throw to somebody, and we've seen this in the past. Even a bad passing game, somebody's going to be catching him, and I think Floyd is right up there, and I have to go with Floyd.
Floyd's the number one option in Arizona, and I can't believe I'm saying that with Larry Fitzgerald in town, but right now Michael Floyd's the number one option there. Davante Adams, it's going to be a shootout. You obviously like what Green Bay can do, but he's the third option. You've seen what Jordy did last week. He's going to see all the targets. What was it, Rick? 16 targets, I believe,
yeah,
he had last week. Obviously trying to work in everyone there. Being right there, I agree. I hate Stanton. He didn't look awful last week, albeit against the Giants. I think you got to roll Floyd here. I know it's not a great matchup, it's a good matchup, but the quarterback issues, but he's the number one option
right on
that offense. Davante Adams, you're hoping almost for a long touchdown or something because he's not going to get the targets if Jordy Nelson's getting 16 targets. Randall Cobb probably gets 8 to 10. How many targets are left? I think that's what it comes down to. We have another one here, Matt Forte or Lamar Miller in a non-PPR, and with this caveat, can't believe I'm asking this, but he's nervous about the Jets' D, Rick.
Yeah, and he's well, you know, well grounded to think that. I mean, we saw what Eddie Lacy did against New York last week. And I tell you what, it's a tough run defense. There's no question about that. Lamar Miller I want to like this guy really bad. I do. And I have to think, I just can't bench Matt Forte. I don't care. I mean, maybe in standard, I don't know if you get in their scoring, if you're still getting yards for receiving, I still think you have to have Forte in there. Whether you're getting it points per reception or not, you're still going to get yards for receiving.
Right.
So I think there's no way that you can bench Matt Forte.
That's just it. And big thing with Eddie Lacy last week coming off the concussion, I don't know how much that factored in. Green Bay was down 17 early in that game, and the game plan became throwing the ball. That Jets D's a good run D, but I just don't trust Lamar Miller. I think Forte's pretty much unbenchable. Rick, we have a call on the line. Let's get to that. Area code 240. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Drunk Dwight again with the napkin from last week.
Oh, man, I tell you what, Drunk Dwight. I tell you, that's going to be we're going to call you Drunk Dwight from now on.
That's fine. I like to consider myself functional. I show up at work, and they give me money, and then I leave and get drunk. It works out well for me.
Everybody wins.
Here's my issue. I've got Le'Veon Bell, Rashad Jennings, and Donald Brown as my running backs. I had the other guy, the brittle gentleman, but course, he got hurt, which is why I already had Donald Brown. I usually play two running backs and two wide receivers, and, well, I have to play two running backs, two wide receivers, but I have a flex option, and I don't know whether to go with Donald Brown as my flex or three of my four receivers, which is Mike Wallace, Macklin, Reggie Wayne, and Floyd from Arizona. What do you think?
Okay, so we're...
So basically you're asking, should you start Wallace, Macklin, Wayne, or Floyd in place of Brown in the flex? Am I correct?
Correct.
I would
Actually, to be more specific, I'm going to play two. I have to play two of the wide receivers.
Okay.
So okay, two are left as possibility for the flex.
Are you PPR?
Standard, and it's a 14-team league. So the waiver wire is not looking too sexy.
Pretty thin. Okay. I tell you what, in standard format, you know, certainly to me, you got to play Wallace and Macklin and or Wayne, which has a pretty good matchup with Jacksonville. Well, I tell you what, I got to start Le'Veon Bell and Rashard Jennings. It's between Brown and Wayne or Floyd to me. Boy, I tell you what, that's a very tough question, Dwight. I'm going to have to go Reggie Wayne. Just this Jacksonville matchup, and I think they get cranked up a little bit, and I think he has a good chance of racking up some yards and scoring touchdown.
So your instinct is to go in terms of receivers, Wallace, Macklin, Wayne, and bench Floyd?
Yeah, I don't like the Drew Stanton there. I think Mike Wallace is a nice play this week. He's off to a good start, as disappointing as last season was for him. Mike Wallace, I think, is big play potential here against Kansas City. I like Mike Wallace. Macklin almost becoming an every-week play. So, yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to go that way. Floyd, I think, out of those wide receivers is the guy. I think they're in that order to me, Wallace, Macklin, and Wayne. And so are we talking about we need to sit Brown for one of these guys? Because I may, Rick, play Donald Brown over a Reggie Wayne there.
Yeah, that would be the question for Dwight. Is basically, are you going to start Donald Brown, Reggie Wayne, or Michael Floyd in that flex spot if he's starting, you know, like we said, Wallace and Macklin?
You guys, it's like you're actually looking at my napkin.
See, that's what we do. Well, we're drunk too. That factors in. So I think in order it goes Bell, Jennings, Wallace, Macklin, Brown, Wayne, Floyd. That's the order I put those in, and however you set your lineup, that's the way I'm going with that.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. That. I have one quick philosophical question.
Oh, uh-oh.
That's what we do here, too.
I'm a really conservative dude. The year that I won the championship, I had backups to all my running backs, which means that my bench is pretty weak. I've got the backup for Le'Veon Bell, Rashard Jennings, and I had the backup for Matthews, which, of course, was Brown. My brother says I'm crazy because I can't get any of the good waiver hits because I'm hesitant to drop my backups, even more so since it's been working out for me. Matthews goes down, and I plug in Donald Brown. What are your thoughts on that? Am I too conservative? Should you only back up one or two of your running backs? What do you think?
You know, it's a good question, and it's a even tougher answer for me because, like, in the situation you're in, Matthews went down, now you got Donald Brown to go in there. But on the other side of the coin, if you had, say, just for an example, a Jennings, a Lacy, a Matthews, and pick somebody else that's a starter, you got guys that are starters that you could plug in anytime you felt like it. And,
right.
You know, for example, say you had Arian Foster and he may not play this week. Yeah, it's great that you have, his backup, say, Alfred Blue, but are you sure that this backup's going to get the workload that Arian Foster is? Probably not. If you had a guy like, say, I don't know, Toby Gerhardt, I know he hasn't been doing anything, or somebody like that that is the starting running back, you know he's still going to get that workload. Sometimes the backups aren't, you know, they don't fill in the shoes quite as admirably as we would hope, because they do share a load, and obviously are backup because they're not as good. So, you know, to me, I tend to like to get as many guys that are at least share the load, like a Pierre Thomas or a Joik Bell, or starters, instead of handcuffing backups. That's my philosophy. Rick?
Yeah, and I agree. And it depends on if this is that same 14-team league, maybe those guys don't exist. If you're going to carry the backups, I think you did it with the right teams. Le'Veon Bell, if he goes down, I think LeGarrette Blount has a similar role. LeGarrette Blount standing on his own, depending on how things shake out, may be pretty decent for you. Andre Williams, love his potential if something would happen to Rashard Jennings. Donald Brown, again, same situation. So you have the right three. I think that having three is too many. Maybe you identify your top two, depending on your roster size, and you do that. But you need a little bit of – because come bye weeks, this does you no good. That's where I have concerns about it. When Le'Veon Bell goes on bye, obviously so does LeGarrette Blount. So I maybe do it with one or two, but to carry three roster spots and number two running backs and guys who aren't going to get carries on their own, I think that's too many. And I think it's in that order. Actually, no, I think it's Andre Williams I would carry, then Brown, then Blount really would be the order I'd have those in, and keep one or two depending on what's available out there. Although, to your point, in a 14-team league, yeah, I don't know what's on that waiver wire that you can go out and put yourself in a better spot, but I think you really pigeonhole yourself to those three teams, and I have concerns about that.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, gentlemen, and I'll try to give you a napkin update next week as well.
All right. Well, hey, good luck this week. Don't get too drunk before the 8 o'clock game.
Well, I'm working on that right now, so I probably will be.
All right.
Have a good one, fellas.
Hey, right. You too. Good luck. Double D, drunk Dwight. I like that. That's
all right, Rick. We have got we got another call on the line, but we had some in the chat room. Let's try and catch up on real quick here. We have, I lost it here. Gerhardt, Dunbar, Talaferro, Stills, John Brown. Pick one for the last fifth and final flex spot.
I like Kenny Stills.
Yeah, I think he has the most potential right there.
Yeah.
And we also have Joik Bell or Ahmad Bradshaw in a non-PPR flex.
I think Joik Bell.
Yeah.
In a shootout potential with Green Bay, I think that Joik Bell is, you know, I think he's probable. He banged up a little bit with that knee, but I don't think he's in any danger, and I think him and Bush are both going to get a workload.
And right now, I know you didn't necessarily agree, Joik Bell getting more touches, getting the number one work.
Yeah.
And we talk about it may change when Reggie Bush isn't banged up. Name me the last time Reggie Bush wasn't banged up. Last one, Rick, and we'll 860. We'll get to you in 1 second here. This is a good question. Michael Floyd or Cordell Patterson in a non-PPR?
Ooh, boy, I tell you what, that's in non-PPR.
This is easy for me. While you think about it, Rick,
you go ahead.
I'm all in on Cordell Patterson.
Oh, I know you are.
Now, I know they're going to be able to key on him because he is the playmaker in that Vikings offense with Adrian Peterson out. However, against this New Orleans defense, somebody's going to have to make some plays. They're going to have to try and keep up. Cordell Patterson's never going to be a PPR darling. He's going to run the ball. He's going to get some chances. We've talked about, while Michael Floyd, I still think, has a decent game because he's that number one option, even with Drew Stanton, just on big play potential. I think it's Cordell Patterson. It's fairly easy for me, based on the fact they're going to have to keep up. You talked about water through the screen door with that Saints defense. I think that's pretty easy.
I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to be a blowout in New Orleans. I really do. But I still think Patterson's going to get, even if it's garbage time points, I think they're going to get them. And it's just a much tougher matchup with San Francisco and Arizona. I think there's a lot more potential points for Cordell Patterson. So I will definitely agree.
And according to Scott, and we'll get him in here at the top of the hour, that Cordell Patterson is part God, and the other part is something better than God. So...
And Scott's part fish.
I don't even know what that means. All right, last one in the chat room, and we'll get to the phone call. Need to pick up a quarterback this week. Who do I drop, Ladarius Green, Lance Dunbar, or Isaiah Crowell? It's a keeper league, so who do you drop in order? And that's important. Who do you drop in order to pick up that quarterback?
Boy, I'll tell you what. I would drop You know, I would, in a keeper league, I would not want to get rid of Ladarius Green.
Eventually, Gates has to go away.
At first blush, you want to get rid of him because Gates is getting all the points. However, Crowell, and who's the other one?
Lance Dunbar.
I would think I'm getting rid of Dunbar.
I agree. He just hasn't filled that role they talked about him being in. Don't know if he's ever an every down back. The one concern you have is DeMarco Murray has a history of getting banged up a little bit, but I'm going to agree, Crowell. You know, you're one. Ben Tate, I think he's going to be banged up. I think Crowell, Terrence West, these two are going to be going at it. Most potential there. So I'm going to go with Lance Dunbar as well. Go ahead and drop him. Zeus Spears, Cordell Patterson, and Torrey to Scott. So you have that there. All right, Ray, let's get finally to the call. Sorry about the wait. Area code 860. Good morning.
What's up, guys? It's Dean from Connecticut with my obligatory call.
You're not drunk, are you, Dean? We'd have drunk Dwight and drunk Dean.
No, not yet. Hey, oh, man, last week, guys, I lost the heartbreaker. I was up by 5 points with Luck and Vinatieri. I figure I got it in the bag, 2 minutes to go, bring in Vinatieri, kick that field goal, I'll be up by 8. I got it. Nope, he throws a pick. Then I'm up by 3, and that guy had Darren Sproles, and, oh, man, I lost it in the last seconds. I want to kill Sproles right now.
Those are the ulcer creators right there.
Darren Sproles did that to us once. Remember that bet way back last week of the year, the last fantasy week, and he ran one late in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, Darren Sproles is an a-hole. That's what I've decided.
Exactly. Yeah, as far as Toby Gearhart goes, man, I'm done with him, dude. I dropped him because the tornado, well, I'm calling it bi-nado, is coming next week, and I picked up the Chargers defense to play against Jacksonville next week. Because I got the Bengals. I'm just done with Gearhart. Anyways, guys, what do you think about Ellington today? I haven't heard you saying anything about him.
I'll be honest with you. I have him as a – I didn't want to make it official because Andre Ellington is probably going to be in a lot of starting lineups. But I had him in between watch and sit. And, I mean, you know, Drew Stanton's just not going to enhance the passing numbers, I don't think, against San Francisco. You know, San Francisco coming off that tough loss, you know, and I think they're going to really key on stopping Ellington, and then it's going to depend on Drew Stanton beating them. And I think that's going to be the game plan for the defense is to make Stanton beat them. They're not going to let Ellington do it. So, depending on your options, to me, I'm, you know, he's a cautious sit.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous with him. I mean, I got, I had Bernard Pierce, but he's not playing. So,
yeah, you have a whole lot of choice.
Yeah, well, I got Pierre Thomas. Would you start Pierre Thomas over him?
I would.
I think I would, yeah.
Definitely, like I said, I think New Orleans is going to blow out Minnesota at home.
Wow, you guys would start Pierre Thomas over Ellington.
I would. Who else do you have? I wouldn't mind having both of those guys in there. I know Ellington, I'm going to start over these one-week guys, these Blues, these Asiata, these guys. I have Ellington ranked over those guys, but with your every-week guys, I have him sort of towards the bottom of that right now. I think they're going to be behind. They're going to have to throw the ball. Yeah, Ellington will be interesting to see what he does in the pass game. He's been a little bit involved, but not a guy I've ever been real big on. So I'm going to tend to agree, and I will start him, Pierre Thomas over him this week.
What about Justin Forsett, man? I could go snag him on the waiver wire. Do you think he's even better?
Oh, that's so interesting. I think he's a huge play this week, Rick. I think the answer is yes. I think Pierre Thomas and Forsett might be the two guys I'd roll out of those three.
Yeah, I don't know. You're standard, right?
Yeah, this is a standard league.
Okay. You know, that does, but you still get points for receiving yards, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, bear in mind, Mark Ingram's out, so I see a bigger role for Pierre Thomas. That's why I have to justify. It is kind of surprising, but I think that's a justification right there for Pierre Thomas. Yeah, he's just getting a bigger rushing load on top of what he gets receiving.
Now, who do you think is going to have a bigger day, Kyrie Robinson or Pierre Thomas?
I have to think Pierre Thomas, just based on receptions. It's entirely possible Kyrie Robinson comes in and fills that Mark Ingram role. I'm just going to have to see it before I'm willing to trust it and make that call. You just never know. I hate this New Orleans offense. You just never know. Pierre Thomas is probably after Drew Brees, obviously, and Jimmy Graham, Pierre Thomas is probably the surest thing to get touches in this offense. So I'm going to say Thomas, but boy, I'm not going to be stunned if Robinson goes out and touches the ball 20 times.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, you know, Pierre Thomas has 47 yards rushing. Robinson has 59 for the year. Now Ingram's out. We have to see what that split's going to be. But you have to bear in mind, Pierre Thomas has a 74 yards receiving right now. And I think that's one of the big things with Pierre Thomas. You still get the points for the receiving yards. And I think the potential's there. I mean, you know, they only have one touchdown between them. And I'm with Rick. You hate the New Orleans offense, except for Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees, to rely on anything consistent.
Hmm. All right, guys. You guys have a good week. I hope you win your matchups, man.
Hey, same to you, man. I'm with you on Gerhardt. I'd be the first to admit I was kind of high on him going to Jacksonville this year, but after seeing what they have put out there on the field, I mean, it's disheartening because there are a lot of high hopes. They've actually had a pretty good draft. They seem to be on the right track, but they just cannot seem to get anything going. Of course, they have, you know, with Blackmon still being stupid and Ace Sanders and Cecil Shorts banged up, you know, they just don't have a whole lot of weapons on the outside. I think Gerhardt, sooner or later, as the season progresses, he may become relevant again. But who has the time, you know, to wait on him while you're losing fantasy games throwing him in your lineup?
Nah, he's unstartable at this point. Hey, you guys are from the Pittsburgh area, man. Is Antonio Brown going to function against that Carolina D tonight?
I think Antonio Brown can function against any defense. And, you know, using the old air quotes, I think he is, if he's not there, he is as close to elite category as you can get. I mean, he's a slick guy. I think he's going to. Now, whether or not they can run and Ben can actually get any sort of nice game plan going, working against this defense, remains to be seen. But I think Brown's going to get his numbers.
Mm. All right, guys, man. Thanks for talking to me, man. I'll let you go. I know you got a show to do.
All right, Dean, good to hear from you again. We'll talk to you real soon. All right, Rick, we got one in the chat room right here. The initial question, do you trust A.J. Green this week, assuming he's healthy? My answer in the chat room was, yeah, I trust him. Or no, I don't trust him, but if he's active, you can't bench him. That's it with A.J. Green. And then the question turned into Welker or Green. I think it's Green.
And it's a tough question, but you remember last week, Brandon Marshall, questionable with that ankle, had three touchdowns. You get guys like that, they're almost, you live and die by these guys. You draft them probably first round or very early second, at the very latest. You got to roll. You play your studs. If they're in there, you have to play them. And
it's the NFL. If he's healthy enough to be active, he's going to play a role. He may not be the same role, but he's going to play a role. And I don't think, or even believe Wes Welker has a big role this week. He's been out for a long time dealing with the concussion issues, then with the suspension. So I think they ease him back in.
I think the concussion thing, I think it's history. I think the suspension actually helped him. And, you know, listen to some of the other shows. The last week's show, we talked about, you know, impact on the Fantasy Sports Network. If you ever get on fantasysportsnetwork.com and check out our show. And I think Wes Welker is going to impact the Denver offense. I think he's going to improve the other guys on the Denver offense more than have a big day himself.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, Rick, we've got a call on 661. Not sure if this is Scott or not. Scott, is that you?
This is me. How's it going, guys?
Well, how's it going? Well, I'm trying to run the chat room today, Scott. It hasn't been pretty.
Oh, man. If I had remembered that, I would have given you more crap.
It does frustrate me. It's no wonder, Rick, you're so bitter all the time. Well, there's a lot going on. Well, it's fun, but
I'm bitter because the way we are apparently hooked up into Blog Talk, we're essentially somehow logged in as one, and only one guy can be on. And, of course, Rick happened to log on to the chat room. We were experimenting with the new format, and then the show started. He can't get out, or it disconnects everything. So
that's right. Your reign of terror is over. That's what it's all about. So
that's okay. I'm just sitting here spewing out heavenly advice.
Yeah, that's it. So Cordell Patterson's a god, huh, Scott? You're that far in on him?
Yeah, I think I mentioned also that Zeus fears him. He's it's more of a dynasty thing. I think he's going to be like a top 5 or 10 wide receiver for several years. He's still young and raw, though, so he's not quite there yet.
Do you have any fear? We talked about it in the midweek show. I wonder now that you take Peterson out of the mix, and Patterson is the most dynamic player and probably has to be that number one option in that Vikings offense. Can teams game plan for a guy like Patterson and take him away and try to make Matt Castle and Greg Jennings and maybe Asiata beat you and take Patterson out? Or is he just that solid that he's going to succeed no matter what because he's that dynamic? I'm on the fence on that.
I think I'm the same place I was about Josh Gordon last year when I came on the Inside Slant and I said, you got to start him every week. If you watch him, you just know he's going to make things happen. And sure, he's young enough and raw enough that he'll have his poor weeks. But I put him right in that category that even with good defense, he's going to make stuff happen every now and again. So that's pretty much where I have him. I can't bench him for – you'd have to have a pretty good roster to get him on my bench.
Yeah, I agree. He's just too dynamic. All right, we got one in the chat room I missed, Rick. I'm slipping already. We have a use of input, please. I need two of these guys in a one-point PPR. Bradshaw, Victor Cruz, C. Johnson. I'm going to assume that's Chris, Marcus Wheaton, or Danny Woodhead. That's some tough calls there. How about Scott? I'll let you take that one off the top.
Well, this one, the first one's pretty easy for me. I'm taking Ahmad Bradshaw. He's easily the top guy for me. Victor Cruz has not done anything for so long that I'd like to see him make like two good plays before I put him in a lineup. He has 5 dropped passes this season in 2 games. That's getting ridiculous. I think my second pick would probably be either Woodhead or Chris Johnson. I think Wheaton's got a pretty tough matchup today, so it's kind of a coin flip for me. I think I'll lean Woodhead because we're not sure what the split will be with Matthews out, and you can kind of just hope that Woodhead gets 12 to 15 touches.
I think I'm going to have to agree with Scott. I there's something about Cruz. I mean, everybody was looking for this bounce back year, but New York is just looking horrible. And until something happens, I just don't really want any part of that. And, you know, going back to Scott's point, I mean, it's just inexcusable. I'd like, the Monday night game, you know, Johnson becomes interesting against that Chicago defense. But, you know, you got Ivory and them in there. He did nothing last week, so there's too many questions there. Woodhead's the one that stands to benefit the most. And I like Woodhead and Bradshaw actually pretty easily.
Yeah, Bradshaw's the obvious one. Cruz, he's dead to me at this point. It's sad to say. My fears with Chris Johnson, and I like this Bears matchup, I really do. My fears with him is Chris Ivory seems to be getting the bulk of the work and really is beating him out. Chris Ivory taking that job. Marcus Wheaton's a guy I want to get into lineups, but I'm having trouble finding the right matchup for him week in and week out. I like the way they're working him in. This isn't the matchup to play him on, so I'm going to make it unanimous. I'm going to go with Ahmad Bradshaw. I'm going to go with Danny Woodhead, specifically because it's a PPR league.
I got a fun Rick Fleeger-esque stat for you on Victor Cruz. In the last 12 games, guess how many touchdowns he has and guess how many games over 90 yards he has?
Being that you asked that, I'm going to have to say 0.
I'll say 1 just to be different.
In the last 12 games, he has no touchdowns and 1 game over 90 yards.
And we took Hakeem Nicks to task so much last year for never getting in the end zone. This is an Eli Manning issue more than these wide receivers, I have to think, at this point. That offense is just atrocious.
Yeah, Martellus Bennett last year had a pretty dang good year, and Larry Donnell this year is doing pretty good through two games. Maybe Eli only trusts his tight end or something.
Well, they're just bigger and they're closer, I think, so it's easier for him to get to. So, Rick, looks like we're caught up in the chat room. We're caught up on the callers. Why don't you hit the mailbag?
That's what we'll do. We'll go to the mailbag, and pretty straightforward. Phillip Rivers, Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to go with Colin Kaepernick here. For whatever reason, I had the stats in front of me, and I got 9 screens up. I can't find it now. He owns Arizona for whatever reason. He's comfortable playing against them. There's something there. Colin Kaepernick, I believe it was averaging 260 yards and a couple of touchdowns or something against the Cardinals. I buy into that when this happens. I know teams change year over year, but I buy into that stuff. I'm going Kaepernick.
Scott, go ahead.
I think I'm also – no, oh, sorry. I'm going Rivers. I think Rivers is just really on fire right now. I do like Buffalo's defense a little more than Arizona's right now. But it's really, really hard to sit Rivers after watching what he did to Seattle. If he gets a matchup like Buffalo, I just got to feel he's going to pick him apart. That is, of course, assuming Keenan Allen does go. He's 50-50, and last I saw it looks like he was going to play. If he's out, man, I would switch it to Kaepernick.
I'm going Phil Rivers, and, yeah, a lot of it based on Keenan Allen, but I think he's going to play. And Phillip Rivers is playing good, and you know how I feel about him from the preseason on through. And, yeah, definitely Phil Rivers. Okay, and we will go to a PPR question. Pick 2, Eddie Lacy, Reggie Bush, Nile Davis, Matt Asiata.
Oh,
guy was on some waiver
wire.
Yeah,
he has no free agent dollars left. So Lacy's an every week start. I know he's been a disappointment. I can't sit him down. That Detroit run defense has even been pretty stingy. But you can't sit Eddie Lacy. He was a top 7 pick. You have to take him. Comes down to Bush and Nile Davis for me. I'm going Nile Davis. I love what I saw out of him. Even in week 1 and then a huge week 2, as high as I've been on Reggie Bush, I'm starting to cool off. Like we've talked about, Joique Bell getting those top carries. I'm going Lacy and Nile Davis.
Yeah, I'm certainly with you on Eddie Lacy. He's a must-start. To me, it's actually between Nile Davis and Asiata, just because garbage points, I think it's going to be a blowout in New Orleans. But I'm going Nile Davis. I think he's a, you know, the potential's there. He's been looking good, and I think he can carry the load.
Yeah, this one's not really very close for me. It's Lacy and Nile Davis. Man, when I watched Nile Davis at Arkansas, and with all his injury issues and the fact that he could never share the load, he always had to have other running backs, I did not expect how he's doing for Kansas City when Charles was out last year and this year. He looks way too good to sit. As far as Asiata against New Orleans in that garbage time role, I wouldn't doubt they get Jerick McKinnon in a little bit to get him just some live game action, more than the 2 or 3 snaps he had last game. Even though Asiata is way better in pass blocking, and he's a great catcher. I just like Lacy and Davis this week. I think those are your high upside and safe picks.
A lot of talk McKinnon may take this job over before the year's over. You buy into it? I know he was the training camp darling.
You know, before when Adrian Peterson first went out, I said, long term this season, you're going to want McKinnon for later in the season, especially when the Vikings are out of it and they're getting game time for their players. But Asiata is just so well-rounded in so many areas. But I think a point will come where they realize you can't win games with Asiata. You can't win games with a running back that runs a 4.9140.
That's Rick Briggs style number 40 times there.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, guys, we got a call on the line. Let's get to that. Area code 813. Good morning.
Yeah, it got to be weird.
It is definitely weird.
Oh, it's weird, Harold. We wait for this week in and week out. What's going on?
Not much. Not much, guys. I can't believe you guys are actually doing philosophy questions on your radio show, but
that's what we do.
Always possible.
Full service fantasy sports show.
It's good. Well, you guys led me to like 2 and 3 last week, but there was a lot of just injury issues. So I've got I've got many issues this week.
Well,
and
still,
a lot of the time,
we're not clairvoyant as far as injuries. So.
Yeah, that part I am. I'm, you know, wide receiver heavy. But this week, I've got Joey Bell's an automatic start, but I've got in my other running back would be Johnson or Woodhead. I'm going back and forth between those two right now because that's about what I got in those two. I don't think Hyde's going to do anything this week.
Nah, PPR league?
Yeah, PPR. Everything I do is PPR.
I think it's Danny Woodhead. Pretty easy for me, Rick.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
yeah,
that's
sweet, but
perfect.
All right.
That bodes well for my wide receiver question because I've obviously in Brown's going to start, and I've got Jeffries, Garcon, and Sammy Watkins with Cruz sitting on the bench after your last discussion. He's probably now cleaning the bench. So I'm still afraid to put Alshon Jeffries in as a starter because I don't know if he's injured. Where do we go?
Well, that is a problem because it's a damn Monday night game. And, you know, you have Jeffries, Watkins, Garcon, and who was the other one?
That was Antonio Brown, which is the obvious start.
Yeah, Jeffrey's
going to play. If he played last week, he's going to play this week. He's another week healthier. You saw what he did last week. Obviously, clearly, he was a little healthier than Jeffrey. I'm trusting that he's going to play, and if he plays, you've got to go Alshon Jeffrey. Garcon is interesting. I think Cousins, he was my quarterback start, Rick. I think Garcon has a chance at a big day, but I know Jeffrey's going to play, even banged up. I'm going with him.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, wow, that's rough because Jeffrey's the clear answer. I assume you can only start two and you're starting Brown and Jeffrey right now. Jeffrey is the clear answer if we knew he was healthy. My backup would probably be, my backup would be Garcon just because of that Philly matchup. But I would have Jeffrey starting. But if you get a little worried about Jeffrey come game time, I would put in Garcon.
Okay, because you know, with them both playing on Monday night, I could put Jeffries as a flex. If he doesn't go, I can throw C. Johnson in there. But I don't know how many points I'm losing at that point.
Yeah, I tell you, these Monday games, these Thursday games, they just mess with you fantasy wise. I'm with these guys. I mean, and it's hard to say because you don't know if he's going to play. I mean, to me, obviously, Jeffrey's a start. As of right now, it looks like he's okay. He was limited. I think they're just resting him. And everything that I've seen, I think he's going to play. And I think you have to have him in there. That being said, probably, boy, I tell you, it is so tough. I'd still have to roll with Jeffrey, though.
And I do like having the backup plan. You're going to lose points between, if say we find
right.
out Jeffrey's out, you're going to lose points between Garcon and CJ, but it doesn't cripple you. So I think that allows you to take the risk on Alshon Jeffrey. If you didn't have that backup, maybe the conversation shifts to Garcon, but having that backup plan, it makes me feel better about starting Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too. When the second you said you had a second option to avoid the goose egg, that pretty much cemented Jeffrey for me.
Yeah, because, I mean, I could put Brown and Garcon as starters and flex Jeffries. If he's playing, he at least stays as a flex. It won't hurt me. And if he's out, I can put C. Johnson in there. And
exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's the safest way to roll, to be honest with you.
All right. In my other league, because I can't sit Ball or Forte, I've got Jordy Nelson, he can't sit. Picked up Sanu, and I do have Welker, Hawkins, and Cruz, just keeps falling. I've obviously drafted him hoping he would have a good year this year being a PPR target as he's been for a little while, but he seems to not be able to catch a ball.
That's for sure. Yeah, out of what you said right there, I'd have to throw in, I mean, if you've been starting Cruz, I think Sanu is the way to go. I mean, number one, you got A.J. Green's still nursing that toe, he may play, but I think Sanu works a little more into that offense.
And then Welker Hawkins for the flex.
Oh, boy. It might be Hawkins for me. I don't trust Welker to get a ton of work. He's going to be active, but there was a lot of question marks about how much work he was going to get. So, yeah, I think it's Sanu, and I think it's Hawkins in the flex there.
Perfect. It looks like I'm a winner. I got who do I pick up as a quarterback, Tannehill or Fitzpatrick for this week?
Ooh. Boy, they're about even. I like Tannehill here. I think Mike Wallace has a big game, Rick. I'm going to go Tannehill.
Yeah, no, I like
play him over. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Play him over who?
Go ahead, Snuffy.
Tannehill over Fitzpatrick, but who are you talking about starting him over?
The only, my only other choice is Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Roethlisberger.
Up against that defense.
I think this one's pretty clearly Tannehill for me. I mean, I'm doing that in a couple leagues, picking him up, because the Chiefs and Jets are the only two teams that have allowed over 500 yards and five touchdowns to quarterbacks so far. They're two of the worst against fantasy quarterbacks. So I think Tannehill's a pretty decent start.
Yeah, and with Big Ben going against Carolina, I mean, you know, Ben's kind of one of these weird ones. He sometimes tends to play better against a decent defense, but you know, I don't think the potential for super numbers are there. I think Tannehill, you know, Scott put out the stats right there. Kansas City got 500 some yards and five touchdowns. I think Tannehill is a good play.
Perfect.
All right.
I needed it. Well, I appreciate the help, guys, and I will threaten one day to call in and tell you Rick's secret formula for hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, we need that. He won't even tell me off the air, so we're going to get that from you. So appreciate it, and we'll hopefully talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Weird.
All right. Rick, Scott, we need to get caught up in the chat room here a little bit. I know Scott's been answering, and thank you for that. Let me get all the way back. Dazed and Confused asks, Crabtree or Michael Floyd in a non-PPR? Scott, I know, answered Crabtree. I'm going to tend to agree. Scott gave the reason he's going to get more targets. I tend to agree with that, so I'm going to go Crabtree
Yeah, especially with Vernon Davis out. I like Crabtree. Him and Bolden's going to have to get to work.
And then the other question, this is interesting, and I've been, and that's why if I got quiet there for a little bit, I'm trying to find it. Said the question is Foster or the field testing his hamstring. I haven't found anywhere. They're still saying, all I can find, that Foster is a long shot to play. I think maybe Dazed has something that Foster may give it a go. I'm going to take the field there either way, even if Foster goes. I've seen his hamstring injuries bring him down.
Yeah, I am too. I don't, you know, everything that we've seen, it's a long shot for him to play. I think even if he does try to play, he's going to be very limited. Look, they're 2-0. After this debacle last year, I can't see them. If they were 0-2, yeah, maybe they push him and he lose them the rest of the year, and it's not that big of a deal, you know, trying to get a win. But they're 2-0. I think they're going to be cautious with them. I have to go to the field.
Yeah, Dave said Foster just did a sprint from one side of the end zone to the other, not officially ruled out yet. So it looks like this is going to come right down to game time. I'm going to take the field here, though. I just don't know. I think his work's going to be limited a little bit. So let me slide back up. We had a couple more here. Tannehill or Romo?
Romo.
I think it's Tannehill for me. I'm going to have to see a little more out of Romo. That St. Louis defense scares me. Where are you at on that one, Scott?
I think it's Tannehill by a Rick Briggs mustache hair. I think it's that close to me.
That big of a margin.
Yeah, that's a pretty big margin, actually, Scott. Now, I got to be honest with you. You got to see
that. Got like walrus whiskers or something.
And then we had a defense question, Rick. I know Scott answered this one in the chat room. It was Colts, Saints, or Dolphins, standard ESPN scoring.
Well, Colts, you know, I think I'd have to go Colts. Going up against
just
that matchup against
up.
Jacksonville, yeah. There's just not much potential with the Jacksonville offense until they show something. Yeah, I'm going Colts.
Yeah, so I think Colts there. It looks like that's who Scott had as well. So
I think the Saints is close, though. It's really close. So I wouldn't fall just because I think Castle throws a couple picks. So I wouldn't fault him for starting the Saints, but I did pick the Colts first.
Yeah, I think just based – that's interesting you bring up the Saints. Yeah, this is a defense I'm actually starting in one league. As bad as they are, they should be turnover machines.
You'd think,
and we're
going
to count on that. So, Rick, we got about 6 minutes left. I think we're all caught up here. Let's hop back to the mailbag.
All right. Where are we at here? Okay, this guy has a dilemma, and he does. He's in a PPR. He's got Marquise Colston, Michael Floyd, Torrey Smith.
Oh, Colston, Floyd, Smith. I'll tell you what, I'm looking for a breakout from Torrey Smith. He's been quiet to this point. Yeah, you worry about him drawing. Well, he's going to draw Hayden, and now I'm backing off. Colston, I hate Colston, so forget him. It's Floyd or Smith. You know, gut feeling, I'm going Torrey Smith. Just a gut.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm actually, oh, this is rough because I think Colston could light up the Vikings.
See, this is why I hate it. You're 100% right.
I hate starting Colston. I just hate starting Colston. But I think that if Hayden plays on Steve Smith, who's been getting all the, you know, all the attention, that would put Torrey on Justin Gilbert, who has just been absolutely destroyed. I think he's been destroyed for 100-plus yards week one and, like, 97 yards last week. So if Hayden plays on Steve Smith, you know what? I'm going to go Torrey just on the pure chance that Torrey gets matched up on Justin Gilbert today.
And I think I'm going to have to go with Scott on this one simply because Floyd, because of the Drew Stanton at quarterback. Colston, I want part of him. He may torch you and get you 30 points, and he may get nothing like last week. And I think Torrey Smith, you know, Steve Smith all of a sudden has turned into an automatic start. You notice we haven't had any questions on Steve Smith. It's like everybody's, you know, he's just an automatic start right now. So I'm going with Scott. I think Torrey Smith may get the better matchup.
Yep, I agree there. Just came in the chat room. Rick Arian Foster is out. Thank you, Dazed and Confused. So that sprint must not have gone well for him. So that answers that question. We also have a PPR question, Rick. Welker or Wheaton?
Wow. Ah, I tell you what, I think I'm going I'm still going Wheaton until I see Welker come back, see what he's doing, and that kind of thing. I like what I've seen of Marcus Wheaton so far.
I just don't know what his workload is going to be, how many plays he's going to be on the field. The one thing that makes me nervous with Welker, we keep talking about this, if he's healthy, if everything's good and he's in game shape and they identify the matchup, Peyton Manning will pick that apart. But Wheaton, I think, just to be safe. And, Scott, I think you agreed. I see that in the chat room.
Yeah, I put Wheaton. I just think he'll get more snaps. I can see Welker having poor timing with Manning after all these weeks. And just unless I read, he might only play situationally in third downs, which sucks because I think he might get a touchdown. But I think Wheaton will just get more snaps. I like that a little better.
Okay, we're running out of time, so let's go some rapid fire here. Sanu or Terrence Williams in a PPR flex?
Looks like A.J. Green's going to give it a go. Well, no, I'm go ahead, Scott. I got to think about this.
I think that I'm going to slightly lean Mohamed Sanu. Terrence Williams did okay week one, last week nothing, or maybe it's vice versa. I'm starting to forget. I think Sanu is going to be a pretty decent option for them. Even if Green is limited, I think they might use Green as a decoy a few more times. So I'm going to go with Sanu.
Okay, I am too, without a lot of elaboration because we've got something to get through.
I'll make it unanimous. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, Tom Brady at home against Oakland or Andy Dalton at home against Tennessee?
Give me Andy Dalton.
Scott.
Red Rocket.
There we go.
I'm going Brady. I think you're
not giving up. You're hanging on.
I think they're going to do it this week. He's going to unload a little bit. Pick two in PPR. Alfred Morris, Lamar Miller, Ridley. Well, and Pierce is out, so it's basically between the three now. So
Morris and Ridley.
Same here.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, Donald Brown, Chris Johnson, Fred Jackson in PPR.
Donald Brown.
Scott.
Oh, it's only one. I had it down to two. Donald Brown, definitely number one for there.
Me too. And how much time we got here, Rick?
We got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, good. Need a flex in standard scoring. Gore, Wayne, Chris Johnson.
Gore, Wayne, Chris Johnson. Got to Got to be Reggie Wayne. That's close, though. I'll go Reggie Wayne.
I think I'll go out on a limb and go Gore. I think you're going to be a hard-fought game and pound it out. I'm going Frank Gore.
This is really close for me. I could go either way, but I think I'm going to put Fliegel on an island and take Frank Gore myself.
All right, Reggie Wayne Island. Beats the hell out of Geno Smith Island, I'll tell you that.
Okay, and last one here that I had set up. Pick two in PPR. Rashard Jennings, Zach Stacy, C.J. Spiller.
Right in that order for me.
Yep, same here.
That's unanimous. That makes it easy for that guy right there. And, I actually skipped. I was jumping around a little bit and missed a question here. Wes Welker, Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne.
PPR.
I'm still not trusting Welker for me.
Yep.
Reggie Wayne.
Jacksonville, no doubt about that. Scott, we appreciate it. We're out of time, so give everybody a little shout where they can find you.
At ScottFish24 on Twitter. That's the best way. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we sure appreciate it. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
You too. See you.
All right, Rick. A couple things that come in the chat room. We'll run a few minutes over here. It's okay. Bernard Pierce is inactive. Jordan Cameron active, somebody we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
He was a questionable going into this week. Jordan Cameron active.
I
could
think
have
he's
a
one
big
of those
game.
Guys.
Get him in your lineup.
Yeah. Once you see him active, you just stick him in. It's no big deal.
So do you want to get out of here, Rick, or did you want to go ahead and give our picks? I know
Let's
we
do it real
that.
Quick. We got a couple minutes. Let's do it real quick. San Diego, Buffalo. Let's not elaborate. Just read them off.
All right, I have. Hold on, I got to get.
All right, I'm going to San Diego 27, Buffalo 17. I'm with Phillip Rivers.
I've got Buffalo 23-20.
Okay, Cincinnati, Tennessee. Is it or no? Yeah, Tennessee. Excuse me.
Yeah, Tennessee at Cincinnati. I got Cincy 27-13.
I think this is easy, too. I got them 30-14.
30-14.
You go ahead.
All right. Baltimore at Cleveland, Rick.
Yeah, they're two similar teams, but I think Baltimore's a little better with Cleveland not having Josh Gordon. 22-20, Baltimore.
I have – did I give mine? No.
No.
I got Baltimore 26-23. I got a lot going on here. MJD is out, Rick. It's very windy in Buffalo. That could be interesting for some. Do you factor that in much?
Sometimes.
I know we're over, but let's...
Yeah, sometimes. It just depends on how windy it is. I mean, these guys play in all kinds of weather, and I've seen them pass in windy days, in rainy days, and snowy days. So unless it's extremely windy, I'm not too worried about it.
And E.J. Manuel, under the best of circumstances, scares the hell out of me anyhow. Rick, Green Bay at Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for lots of scoring. Detroit, they've only given up 2.5 yards a carry, but Rodgers, to me, really has a pass game going. And I think Lacy may have some lanes. It's going to be a classic duel between Rodgers and Stafford. I like Rodgers, 35-30.
Yeah, I have Green Bay 37-34, very close there. Detroit has a way of blowing those games late. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, I don't even need to discuss it.
No, not really. 34-13, Indianapolis.
Yeah, I got Indy 31-13, so we're right on the same ball there. Oakland at New England. This could be a bloodbath.
I don't think it's going to be a bloodbath. I think it's going to be a blowout is what I think. And if you're going to start Brady this week, I think do it now. Oakland hasn't given up a lot of yards in a passing game, but what they have given up is a 77.1% completion ratio. And that has Brady written all over it for me. 31-17, New England.
I have 33-9, New England.
There you go.
I think it's that big. Minnesota at New Orleans. We spent a lot of time on this game today.
New Orleans cannot go 0-3. They won't lose to Minnesota at home. 37-20.
I have 37-27, New Orleans. Rick, Ladarius Webb active and DeSean Jackson active. This could be an interesting guy. You buy into these revenge games, you think DeSean Jackson, now that we know he's starting, puts up a big game.
Not so much with him because a lot of it is based on the quarterback getting him the ball and so forth and establishing the run. A quarterback sometimes, something like that, or a running back running hard. I'm not really buying into the revenge game for the receiver. We're talking to me, it's a classic matchup. I think Cousins is an upgrade, as I said, over RG3.
I'm getting Jackson in a flex, so whether it be revenge or not, I'm playing DeSean Jackson.
Oh, I think it's just a great game, and I'm upset alert to me. Washington 24, Philly 23.
All right, so was that the next one on my list? I got to find it. Yeah, I have Philly, actually, 29-23.
Okay.
I'm not buying what I see out of Washington. We have Houston at the Giants, Rick.
I'm not sure if Houston is for real yet. You know, they've beaten a couple so-so teams. You know, 0-3 start is doomed for a team, and I think somehow New York manages to pull it out 27-21.
I wanted to pick New York. I just felt like they probably shouldn't go down. But Houston, I like what they see. The Arian Foster issue bothers me a little bit, but I'm going to stick with my original prediction. I'm going to go Houston 19-13 in an ugly game. Dallas, Rick, at St. Louis.
You know, the Rams' offense is a downfall right now. And even at home, I think St. Louis gives up more points than they can score. I got Dallas 27, St. Louis 16.
Yeah, I have Dallas 33-17. So we're agreeing pretty much the whole way through here. San Francisco at Arizona, Rick.
You know, Arizona's 2-0, but they're far from looking great. Their defense is banged up, and Carson Palmer's suffering from what appears to be some sort of nerve damage in his shoulder. San Francisco coming off a tough loss. I think they prevail 21-14.
Yeah, I think after last week's performance with the quarterback issues in Arizona, I've got the Niners 27-16.
All right.
I'm reading these off. I'm back in the chat room.
See, that's why you can't
right.
monitor
that's
the
right,
chat
that's
room.
That's right. AJ Green, dazed and confused, our new roving reporter. Thank you so much. Big Text didn't show up today. AJ Green active. Fontez perfect out, so it's all good information. You know, I think we go off the air.
I think Big Texas with Frank.
Well, yeah. Frank's about, if I wasn't so scared of him, he'd be out on his ass right now, Rick. Kansas City at Miami. I think this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, I do too. Niles Davis, the big waiver wire favorite, and, you know, he's a must-start. You know, like I said earlier in the show, just remember, you know, that one week one when Charles rushed for like five times. You know, I think Miami's going to be pressuring Alex Smith, and I think Miami's going to win this game, and Kansas City is taking a big step backwards this year. 24-16, Miami.
Yeah, if they were in Kansas City, I might feel differently. I've got Miami 23-21. Keenan Allen, Rick, is now active.
All right.
So that's big news right
it's
there.
Huge
for
news.
Keenan Allen owners, I think, and Phil Rivers owners.
Yes.
No question about that. Here's the big game, Rick, the game of the week, Denver at Seattle.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier. They're both defenses are ranked 14th, giving up the exact same amount of yards per game. You would think that would bode well for Denver, since you think they have a more potent offense, but I'm not sure they do. Yeah, Seattle one's pretty good, and I think they're at home. It's the 12th man, 27-25, Seattle.
Everything in me, Rick, tells me to pick Denver here, but when you look at the matchups, I can't take them. I think it's being at home. If this game was in Denver, I'd take Denver, and I might take Denver by 10 with the revenge factor, but you're just not going to go into Seattle and push that Seahawks team around. I've got Seattle 33-31. Pittsburgh at Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's defense playing well. Teams can run on Pittsburgh, but the thing is, Jonathan Stewart is the only healthy back in Carolina.
And he won't be healthy for long.
No. I think Ben plays a little better. I'm calling another mild upset. Pittsburgh 28, Carolina 23.
I have the Steelers 23-20 as well. If D'Angelo Williams was in the game, I know both Avant and Jericho Cotri are nicked up. Benjamin had an injury last week, all expected to play. But this team's banged up a little bit. I think Carolina has some success defensively specifically, but I think the Steelers find a way to pull this one out. And Monday night, Rick, Chicago at the Jets.
Jets D, they're physically tough, and, they got shredded by Aaron Rodgers last week. The Bears, they're kind of gimpy on the wide receiver line. I think it's a close call. I'm still going Chicago, 21-20.
Yeah, it comes down to me, Rick. The Bears just have too many weapons. I've got the Bears 27-19. All right, Rick. Well, we have blown way over time. Blog Talk is going to throw us out of here pretty soon, so we got to get going. Thanks so much to everybody, especially Dazed and Confused, our new roving reporter, Big Tex. You better watch your back.
Yeah.
It's coming undone for you. But a great week, a busy week. We'll be back Wednesday, regular show, 7 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Also, don't forget FantasySportsNetwork.com, 1 p.m. Eastern, Rick, 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe 4 a.m. on Sunday. It's an episode of the show you are not going to find anywhere else on our website. you're in a greater New York area, Cablevision Channel 147, all over Canada and worldwide on fantasysportsnetwork.com.
Oh, and it's a much better show than the dreck you find here, so make sure you tune in.
Now, I don't know what to say to that. We'll see.
No, it's a great show. It's a different show, so tune in. It's good time.
All right, until then, good luck this week. Keep those questions coming in at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. We'll answer questions right up till game time. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.